Welcome to Neighborhood Church. To find out more about who we are and to support the work that we're doing, go to neighborhood.love. Have a good and beautiful day, friends.
Now, if you've not seen, we are starting a whole new series, and get ready for it. This is what we're calling it, right? It's called Unnamed, and we have Curious George. I read a lot of Curious George when I was a kid, and I read even more and watched even more of Curious George when I had my kids when they were babies. We spent a lot of time. My favorite character was the city kid. No, not the city kid. The other kid, the farm kid, who I think was convinced that Curious George was a boy, like a human. And he's like, "You city folk are kind of weird," right? And I always thought that was hilarious, right? And I put Curious George because we're talking all about saints. We're talking about saints. In the Christian tradition, in the Roman Catholic tradition, there's over 10,000 saints. In Orthodoxy, there's thousands. In Anglican, there's another 10,000 saints that kind of overlap. But when I started thinking about like what saints can be, I'm like, well, there's a lot of people like, I don't know, Beyonce, right? Who's inspired a lot of people to do great things. And then I thought, well, why couldn't Curious George also be a saint? He inspires people. He inspires kids to be curious and do great things. And so we're doing a whole series on the unnamed saints in our life. And where we start, obviously, Dana, is we have to start with funerals, right? Because you can't talk about a saint unless you're talking about funerals. Because funerals and weddings are some of my favorite things to do as a pastor. Because I have to spend very little energy on reminding people that love matters. I have to do very little work at a wedding and a funeral to remind people that the way you love one another really makes a difference in your life and the lives of people around you and the world, right? They get it. And those are on different extreme ends, but still bring you to this place of sacredness and belongingness and love and inspiration. But here's the thing about funerals. I've done more than you think of funerals when I've met with the family and they said, yeah, my dad was very complicated, right? Like, and I'm like, hey, what do you want to talk about? We're going to do the, and they're like, well, pump the brakes a little bit, right? Because the story that with me not knowing these people and what I projected to be and the actual story were quite different. And family can feel conflicted is a word, right? How do we talk about someone we love but maybe not always liked? And sometimes, how do we talk about someone we love who's done some things, if people really knew, might change their perception? But let me tell you, a little trick. In funerals as well, even with people who love and want, they tell me so many beautiful stories about the person they loved. Still, the stories they choose to tell are still elaborated, right? Which is really good news. Because how we choose to remember the people who passed on, right? We choose to remember the inspiring, beautiful, amazing things they did because that inspires us to also be moving and inspiring and inclusive and do powerful things. Now, if we really got together and we did funerals, like in the book Ender's Game, in the series called Speaker for the Dead, which is a fictional story, and Orson Scott Card, the author, made this character do these funerals and go travel to these different, entirely different planets, and he would give the funeral, and he would tell exactly the story of their life, which could be boring, which could be problematic, which could be beautiful, and could be really hurtful. But he thought, in that story, that character said, I just want to speak the truth. I want to speak the life because then we are informed and we can move on with what we want to move on with. And it could bring healing and bring hope, which is great in a fictional book, right? Because if we did that, right, at Nelson's funeral home in Cloquet, Minnesota, and I got up and I said just these things, it could be hurtful. It could hurt people. Because, you know, in real life, we do this too. Like, I just told, are they up here? I told a couple kids that I could dunk a basketball, right? I'm like, no, you can't. I said, I could prove it to you. They said, let's do it right now. I'm like, well, that's too bad because there's not a hoop. As of right now, they kind of think I can dunk a basketball, right? I can dunk a basketball, right? I cannot dunk a basketball, right? We tell stories to other people because we want them to have an idea of kind of who we are. It's like, was the fish really that big? Did you really beat that person by that much in that race? Did you really moonwalk all the way to the junior high dance to the girl that you wanted to date? Right? In your mind, you probably did. You probably made it like this, and then you fell over and got up. Right? We tell better stories because we want to live better stories, and that's what Curious George did, a fictional character telling stories to inspire us to live better stories for kids to be curious. And this is what saints are supposed to do. This is what saints are supposed to be, to elevate us to a higher level of consciousness, to see the miracles of the hard things they did. For example, I did not write it down. I think I forgot to write it down. Yes, here it is. Saint Wilgefortis. Anyone know Saint Wilgefortis? All right, yes. Saint Wilgefortis has this, the rumor, or the truth is, according to Saint Wilgefortis, is that they supernaturally became less attractive as a female and grew a beard to ensure that people would leave her alone to pass her by, right? And there's this whole tradition around it, and queer theologians say this is a trans saint. Roman Catholicism might push back on that a little bit, right? But still, we have these saints, and they are named. But in order to get named means someone in power has a checklist that says, ooh, you're a saint because you did these things. Oh, Denny, happy birthday, but you're no saint, because they have some checklines and guidelines, but to serve some purpose. And the question you always have to ask is, if we believe this to be true, who benefits the most, right? So any form of power that deems this is worthy of sainthood and this is not, there's still some politics involved. There's still some benefit of who's in and who's out. Instead of looking around the room, looking around our culture, and who are the movers and shakers? Who are the people who are inspiring people to be their fullest self? Because there is so many unnamed saints. There's so many people who have moved in miraculous ways, who have inspired maybe not millions of people, but maybe they inspired you. So my question is, who is a saint to you? If you had to name a saint, and this could be a mentor, this could be a fictional character, this could be someone you knew, this could be someone that your parents told you about or your grandma told you about, does anyone have someone in their mind that you'd say, I think if I had to pick a saint, it would be your grandma? What's your grandma's name? Grandma Gloria. Saint Grandma Gloria. And what about Gloria? What made her a saint to you? Aw. That's so wonderful. What they shared was Grandma Gloria could talk for hours and ask you questions and listen to you, and I missed the other things in there for those who are listening online. She was kind and was generous, and that you think about her every day. She hated the community wafers at church. Oh, this is so good. And she made sugar cookies for communion, like little cubes for people. Now that is what we call punk rock. Grandma Gloria is a little MXPX punk rock, right? Sid Vicious in there, right? I'm going to stick it to the man with sugar cookies, all right? That's good news, unless you're diabetic. That could have been problematic. This is for the Lord. All right. Anyone else? A saint, mentor, Dana. Your great aunt Hazel. I think everyone has a great aunt named Hazel. All right. Great aunt. And what was so great about great aunt Hazel? That's awesome. So Hazel was present for you, would show up at all the, no matter what, she showed up. Oh, I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Hazel. All right. Anyone else? a saint, a mentor, someone who inspired you, maybe someone you pray to. Kat Rimslin or Ramslin? Ramslin. Okay. What was so special to you? That's wonderful. So she was a professor. I'm saying this to people who are listening. She's a professor at the community college you were part of that inspired all of you to show up and do your best and bring so much joy to this world. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? I know my dad really wants to say me, but Dad, you can save that for later, right? Yeah, I haven't got there yet. You need to give a couple more donations financially to the Church of Denny to get into that, yeah? You're getting closer. Right? Is there anyone else? A saint, a mentor, a person that you feel like... I like that we can hear the people counting downstairs. What are they counting down to? We're going to find out a little bit, right? For me, I've shared this multiple times, but my parents' parents, they were wonderful. They were great humans. I didn't know them super well. My grandma, Mert, I try naming all my kids Mert. Well, my daughter Mert, right? And I try naming my boys Lloyd, and someone vetoed it hard, all right? And it wasn't me. But anytime I see light in the morning, like on the wall, you know, if a car, whoop, almost tripped, all right? It was like when your cars drive by in the middle of the night, you see the lights go around the room. Anytime I see that, I think about my grandpa Tony, because I'd have to sleep in that room and I'd see those lights, and I pray to them. And I just say thank you for what you invested in my parents who invested in me. And there's like this really sweet connection. And it took me a while of deconstructing, reconstructing, where I felt like that was good. And now it doesn't feel good. Now it feels magical. I did it this morning. There's something about having people, having mentors. I'm interviewing someone by the name of Greg Boyd on Friday for this podcast that I do. And Greg Boyd doesn't know me from anybody, right? But I stumbled into his church because I didn't want to go to these other churches I was a part of when I was in Bible college. I wanted to go to this new church. It wasn't new, but I wanted to go to this new space where no one knew me. And I walked in, and it was magical. And what he was talking about, I didn't know it at the time, but was this huge controversial thing of where he was talking about a series called The Cross and the Sword, and it was his pushback after 9/11 of how we were fascinated with war. And his whole message, which cut his church in half, right? I know a little something about that. And what he got up and said was, you either serve the cross or you can serve the sword. You can't do both. And he had pictures of like jets flying over the cross and these guns. And I'm like, this is normal from my expression of evangelicalism. And the whole point was, you can't have the cross and the American flag. You can't have the cross and a war machine, because those two are in conflict of one another. And he doesn't know it, but that was like one of the first levers to push me towards a new way of thinking about what belonging and spirituality and Jesus and the cross and heaven and all that, right? So if I have to blame anyone about deconstructing, Greg could be one of them. He's been a mentor to me. I've never met him. His wisdom, his teaching, how he's led. He was a professor at Bethel. And so I get to meet like one of my living saints on Friday, and I'm nervous. I feel like I'm interviewing Beyonce, all right? This is like my version of nerdy people like me. This is my version of Beyonce, and I'm really excited, right? So all that to say is, having people to look up to, having goals or concepts or philosophical ideas that can move you, that can give you grounding, but also give you a little bit of like jet fuel, give you a little bit of that oomph to move you beyond into, if it's lacrosse, if it's academics, if it's to re-envision what your relationships can look like, if it's with your body, it's with your emotional health, it's with your spirituality. We need something to help us, to move us. And Jesus got this, right? Because if we had to pick anyone to be a saint, you should have said Jesus. Deb, you missed the boat on that one. You're like, my saint is Jesus, all right? But even Jesus points to other people. He doesn't really say, hey, you're going to remember me. He does a great job of saying, you're going to remember these other people. He points to other people in John and says, these people are going to do even greater things to me. Jesus had this way of not always deflecting from himself, but trying to move of where the sacredness and belonging was with other people. He wasn't this egomaniac of like, you got to say my name, right? He wasn't like, you got to worship me. It was, how do we embody this kingdom of God so that everyone can do better? And in Mark chapter 14, there is this really, really odd story. And Jesus shows up to the house of Simon the leper, which is a great name, right? There's like people in the Gospels who get the nicknames the Thunder Brothers, right? That's a great name. Getting Simon the leper, not as great name, right? When people are like, hey, Simon, are you Simon the leper? And he's like, you got me, right? Yet Mark makes it a point. We don't know if Simon was a former leper and he was healed, or he is currently a leper. We have no idea, and I guess it doesn't matter. Mark left that title in there because he's trying to communicate something. At least we think so. Because showing up to a house where someone is a leper would mean that you would be ceremonially compromised by walking into the house for a whole host of reasons. So you could say, like, it was an issue to walk into this house. But Mark says Jesus goes to have a meal, which is like a sign of, like, honor. And it was a leper, a former leper, and Jesus is still there. And that's not even the biggest part of the story. As they're talking and they're having this meal, and it wouldn't be like a table, like these beautiful tables that you're sitting at. It would be more of like an open courtyard. It would have been like, you would have been able to see people coming and going. And this woman walks in and she brings a jar and she pushes by all the people. She interrupts and she goes right to Jesus and she begins to let down her hair and she begins to pour this expensive perfume on Jesus, which is a way of anointing Jesus. This is before he goes to the cross, and she's giving him attention, and it is this form of worship and adoration. And of course, the men around the table are like, well, I was talking about, you know, big important business things. I'm a big important business guy. And Jesus says, happy for you. What she's doing is sacred and holy. You guys have been jabbering on, but here's someone who's like doing something. And then he says, this is so good. Jesus says this statement. Mark specifically leaves this in. Whoever wrote Mark, right? You have to think, if the Bible's been edited all these times, and it has, right? And that's fine. Why did they leave in the things they left in? And Jesus says, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Jesus says, whenever you hear my name, whenever you hear the good news, right? Have you guys ever heard the statement, Francis Assisi, preach the gospel always, if necessary, use. I heard it say recently, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use birds, which I like a lot better, all right? You can tell the gospel with birds. Anyways, bad joke. Back to this. Jesus said, whenever you're talking about birds or the word or the gospel, you're going to remember her. There's just a problem. We've forgotten her. Why? We never knew her name. How can Jesus go? This amazing thing this woman has done. It is so amazing and so important that it is like 1A is Jesus and the gospel. 1B, according to the Jesus, who is the person of the gospel, the reason for the good news, Jesus says, yeah, this is really good news, but also good news, you're going to remember this person forever. How are we supposed to remember someone if they're never named? It's almost like the people who decided to keep this story in there might have, this is just me and some other people who think this. Did they ever know her name? Probably. Did they intentionally leave her name out? We never know. But, you know, one way of thinking about it is, who would benefit the most by not putting a woman's name in a story where Jesus says, you will never forget this person. Probably could benefit, one way of thinking about it, is those in power who were more than likely men, keeping the emphasis and the power in one direction. This is what I love about sacred texts like the Bible, is that it's messy, it's complicated, political at times, and it's very human, which isn't bad news. It's good news because we have an opportunity to look back and say, oh, and this is, I'm talking a lot about this recently, but womenist theologians, which is just lived expression, theological views of black theologians and women. And they just share, yeah, this is not surprising. Our names have been left out of history forever. And we get a chance to reclaim and to name those unnamed people, to recognize those people. So I bring all this up as we move forward for the next couple weeks. I'm going to be sharing, some other people are going to be sharing. We're going to be naming saints that maybe the church hasn't always recognized as saints. We're going to be talking about Rachel Held Evans, who was a blogger, started out as a blogger, and for me, helped start this thing called Evolving Faith, which was like a conference, speaking to her highlighted authors, theologians. And I actually went with the Winters, right? The first time I went with the Winters in Denver, Minneapolis, one of the two, Denver. I just remember that, right? Was Rachel there, or was that when she passed? That was right when she passed, yeah, because I skipped the communion part to go watch a Twins game, and I still feel guilty about that. I don't know why I said that in front of everyone. I know, hey, it's just, I mean, it's not just communion. I can't, sorry, Lord. All right, so, but Rachel Held Evans was a huge, huge, like a saint for me, and surprisingly for millions of other people, right? We're going to be talking about John of the Cross. We're going to be talking about a lot of other people. It's so good. And so the reason I bring this up is a couple of you, Deborah said Jesus, right? You talk about your professor at community college. You talk about Grandma, not Grandma Jean, Grandma Grace. Grandma Gloria, all right? Grandma Jean. Oh, that's so great. Or maybe it was Sister Pat, right? Could have been Sister Pat, right? Whoever these people are, what kind of story are you telling? We're being inspired and informed by other people to tell and live better stories. But, like, what kind of story are you living? And are the stories we're living, are they inspiring other people to go do great things? Are the way that we use our leadership, our bodies, our tables, our art, our words, what we do behind a keyboard, what we do behind the wheel of our car, right? Are we living stories where people look at and say, that's saint-like? And depending on whose definition of saint-like, right, might be like, no, thank you. But I think there's room in there for us to, like, be inspired, but also live a life that we can inspire other people. So my invitation to you is as we look at these saints, as we talk about the people in the Bible, as we even have Jesus saying, we'll never forget, we still forget. And how can we collectively begin to bring those people and those stories maybe out of the margins, like for whatever reason put into the shadows, how do we bring them back out? Because there's people whose stories are worth not only hearing, but being inspired so we can live similarly. So I'm going to pray. Please join me. So God, we love you, and I thank you that we still have stories that we're reading and that we're singing about and we're sharing, and kids downstairs are hearing these stories of Jesus being kind and loving and inclusive. And even with all the great things that happen, there's still people who are forgotten. There's still names that we can't even name anymore. And those names still matter, and the work that they do still matters. In the same way, it's easy for us to feel lost in the shuffle. It's easy to feel like, does the work I do matter? Does the way I parent? Does the way I kid? Is the way I function? Is the way I live? Does it matter? And one thing that we've learned is that if everything is connected, then everything belongs to one another. So Holy Spirit, will you inspire us, continue to inspire us to live life with purpose and on purpose. That we can do hard things, that we can extend kindness and love when it's difficult. not just so that we can remember it as a saint and people are like, oh, they're so great, but that love literally transforms the world, and it starts with us. So God, use us to do good and beautiful things, and we love you. Amen. All right. Well, thank you, friends, for being here. If you have questions or if you have a saint that you would like to share with me, I'd love to hear those stories, and enjoy the rest of your week.
That was a lot of talking. That was like 20 minutes or...